stuff that he said we would do. And so why don't you just pray with me and ask for the Lord to come and speak through them and speak right to your heart. We thank you so much, Father, for Mark and for Holly and for their years and their service and their obedience. And we thank you that you've enabled them to speak to us this morning. We love your word and we love you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present and alive this morning in both Mark and Holly and in all of our hearts to hear and then to do. Amen.
I want to thank you guys for allowing me to speak. Ross asked Holly and I to speak again. We're going through Acts. And I don't know about you guys, but Holly and I really have been stirred. We've been stirred a lot as we read. And, you know, we've read Acts before. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. We know what's happening and, you know, and creating a church and building up the church in Acts. But, you know, Benjamin Tennant, the first week, was like, everything in this book is still available to us now. We can see everything as we read everything. And that right there just it continues to stir us, Holly and I. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of like, okay, what's this all for? What, you know, okay, we're stirring, we're going through this. And it, you know, for us, it's got to be more than just meeting on Sunday is great. I love worship, but there's got to be more. I just want more. I want more, and it's creating this hunger inside of me. So we're experiencing a little technical difficulty, but I want to just.
That's been our whole morning.
It's been our whole morning, yeah. Funny how, you know, the enemy may be trying to rob, steal, kill, destroy, you know, stuff. But my last 7 months, I don't know if some of you heard, some of you got the email. I want to thank you guys for coming together. I want to thank you guys for praying at home if you didn't make it. But then there was a time where I just called, you know, Ross, he said, "Well, why don't we get people to pray over the building?" So for those of you who don't know, I have a business, a small little butcher shop in Grand Rapids, and I was having some environmental problems. Basically, there was some environmental stuff underneath my building. It was seeping through my concrete floors and causing vapors within the building. And it happened basically in April, and I've been out of business since then. I couldn't occupy the building. So long story short, we were working and working and working on it, and there's one little thing. We couldn't get over this hump, and one little gas, you know, particle that's, you know, was in the air, and got together and prayed, and this week we found out. Now we have to pass two 24-hour tests. So one 24-hour test has passed. So just a praise report, and it dropped pretty significantly from where it was, and it dropped, and it's below commercial level. We're still praying, and we want to drop below even a residential level, because I do have some apartments I want to remodel above. But I can possibly be in my building by Wednesday or Thursday this week. So it's been a long road, and so thank you so much for praying. Thank you, and really, that's what we're talking about here today is the community coming together. We're talking about. Once the slideshow comes up, you'll see. The Vineyard has a phrase, doing the stuff. And it's doing the stuff, okay, that Jesus did. Okay? And then in Acts, you know, we see the church doing the stuff that, you know, the church being established and doing the stuff that Jesus did. And so we just want to continue that, continue leaning into that. And we're going to go forward here. There it is. All right. We got it. For those of you who don't know, we get four of our kids, everything, okay, we're going to be here early. We get in our car this morning, click, the battery's dead. We try to jump it with the other car, and it just would not charge. It wouldn't charge up. And then, you know, we're spending 10 minutes, and, you know, we live 25 minutes away and try to jump with another car, and it's like not working. So we drove two cars to church because we had my dad's car too. So that's a form of, okay, I got to get going because we have a lot to talk about.
There's nothing here.
It's all back there.
Yep.
It's not happening here. Okay. All right. We want to do a quick review of Acts and what we've learned. And so I'll kind of motor through this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Holly because God's been speaking to both of us, but Holly really has, you know, had some, a lot of stirring and beautiful things happen. So I don't want to get in her way. But Acts 1 and 2, what do we see in these books as we go? Acts 1 and 2, tongues of fire, speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit speeches, sacrificial giving, fellowship together. Okay, Acts 3, healing, preaching. We see jail time. We see trouble with the government, and we see 5,000 new believers. Acts 4, we see persecutions, sacrificial giving, and unity. Acts 5, holiness of God from events like Ananias and Sapphira. Many healings, a jailbreak by an angel, more trouble with government officials. Okay, so you're going to have trouble maybe within the government or within the world around us, you know, cars not starting. Acts 6 and 7, food distribution, signs and wonders, Stephen martyred. Okay, Acts 8, persecution against the church, believers scattered, healing a sorcerer comes to Jesus, Philip teleported. You remember that one? We didn't cover it, I don't think, in church, but it was like beam me up, Scotty kind of stuff. You know, he's gone, you know, when he's talking to the eunuch, you know, he's gone. Next slide. We get into Acts 9, which Ross talked about last week, and the terrorist, this guy named Saul, he's a terrorist. He's going around killing people, throwing people in jail. He has a dramatic encounter with God, experiences blindness, and then is healed. And then he begins preaching. The church has a time of peace and increases in number. Aeneas, I don't know how to sell it, was healed in the end. And then Tabitha or Dorcas, how'd you like to go through life with that name? Dorcas, raised from the dead. Okay, so like, so that all happened, you know, things that we can be a part of, things that, you know, we should see, you know, and Holly's going to go through, you know, maybe why aren't we seeing this, or kind of leans that we need to have, but all these things that God is moving in Acts and the people here, but can we see them too? I'm going to go through Acts 10 because 9 and 10 are kind of pivotal. 9 and 10, they start with the Jews, or 1 through 10 is kind of the Jews in Jerusalem. And the transition happens here when Paul comes on the scene, and then this situation with Peter that we're going to read about, where the church starts going from the Jews, but it starts going to the world and to all nations. So there's a switch. So a lot of the second part of Acts is about Paul and his missionary journeys, because this gospel, this good news of Jesus dying on the cross, raising from the dead, giving us power with the Holy Spirit, is for everyone, is for the world. So the switch happens here. So next slide. And the one thing I want to share, the main point of this part of Acts 10 is this gospel, this good news, this Holy Spirit, this power is for everyone. And every nation, every tribe, tongue, and race, and every person. This is the main point of this little power encounter that Cornelius and Peter have. So I'm going to go read through this. I may read through it fast, but try to absorb what's happening. And then I'm going to turn it over to Holly. So next slide, start out. Acts 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So he was Roman. Okay, he was a Roman centurion. He was in charge of a lot of people. Okay, he and his family were devout and God-fearing. We saw that, you know, the church was scattered, and some people are accepting Jesus, even Romans. Okay, he gave generously to those in need. So he's doing the stuff there. And he prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Okay, all the time we see an angel in Scripture, what happens? Cornelius stared at him in fear. I'm, you know, if I see an angel, I'm scared. What is it, Lord? He asked. I hear him trembling in his voice, you know. The angel said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa, bring back a man named Simon who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. That's kind of address there. He's giving an address. Simon the Tanner, house by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So sending them out. Okay, next slide. I jumped down a little bit. But about noon the following day, as these guys were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof and played. So he's at the, you know, the Tanner's place by the lake. He's probably looking over the ocean, you know, on the roof. He came hungry and wanted something to eat. But while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So some a vision, a trance happened. He saw heaven open up, something like a sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice said, "Get up, Peter, eat and kill." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure and unclean." He was a good Jewish boy. All right? He did all the laws that the Jewish, all the Hebrew customs, he kept them. He didn't eat pork, you know. Kept all. "I've never eaten anything unclean." Okay, the voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So Peter is getting this vision, kind of a precursor of what's going to happen with Cornelius. And so jump down, next slide. Okay, I dropped down a little bit, but the next day Peter started with them because these guys came, they got him. They're starting out, going back to Caesarea, going back to Cornelius. And some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He's got a little party going on here. So he called together. Peter entered the house. Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him stand up. "I'm only a man myself." Okay. While talking with them, Peter went inside and found this party, found this large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate and visit with a Gentile." Okay, here's these Jewish customs coming in. And he's going into a Roman's house. But these are believers now. But they're going into these Roman's house. But God has rubbed down all, you know, taken down all these boundaries. Taken down that this gospel, this good news that is for everyone. He's taking these boundaries down that the Jewish have some misconceptions. They have some mindsets. He's taking them down. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising. May I ask why you sent for me? So then Cornelius in the following verses goes on and says, basically, this is why, you know, he tells of his vision. This is why I sent for you. And then the last part is a power encounter here, but it's Peter speaking what Jesus has done. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit falls. And I want to tell you, church, let's not stop speaking of what Jesus did. Died, resurrection, coming from, you know, up from the grave, and the Holy Spirit coming upon him and coming upon many. Because, next slide. And Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God has not shown favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with them." Okay, next slide. "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross." He's given the gospel here, given the good news. "But God raised him from the dead, and on the third day he caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but witnesses whom God had already chosen by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Watch what happens next. Next slide. While Peter was still speaking the word, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they not be baptized in the name of Jesus. So water baptism, but also Holy Spirit baptism. Sounds like the Holy Spirit baptism came first, right? So they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days, and he did. So all that to say that this gospel is for everyone. This gospel of every tongue, tribe, and nation. Ross challenged us, can you pray for a terrorist? Can you pray for a terrorist and have him? This is the power of God coming. A terrorist was Paul. Saul Paul. He was a terrorist. He was the most influential, you know, writer of the other scriptures. So God, just come. Holy Spirit, come and move. Move in our midst. Move among us. May we see the things. Break my lack of faith, God. Break my lack of faith. Break our church's lack of faith. We confess that. We want to see more of you. We hunger for you. Name in the power of Jesus. I'll turn it over to you.
All right.
We're a little rough on the transition there, but I'll sit down.
So we started off that the very first slide up there said doing the stuff that Jesus did. And I've been to Vineyard churches throughout the years, but it wasn't until I started going to Southside a few years back that I started hearing. Are you hearing echo as much as I am? No? Okay. But started hearing all of these Vineyardisms, you know, the doing the stuff that Jesus did and everybody plays. And I kind of fell in love with it. I felt like it was refreshing to hear some of those things that often I feel like are lacking, you know, in the church. And so I have loved going through Acts with those glasses on, reading it in that way, you know. What Mark said, Benjamin started us off the very first message saying this is still for us today. And so as Mark and I were talking, as we were preparing, I felt like he kind of showed you Acts 1 to 10. And I felt like God just wanted me to make a list. And so if you want to go to that list up here a minute, there is a list that is coming. So we talk about doing the stuff that Jesus did, but that in the book of Acts, it's really showing us that they were also doing the stuff, right? And so this is the list from Acts of what kind of stuff the early church did, what God did through the early church. So speaking in tongues, sacrificial giving, caring for those in need, deep fellowship and community, unity, and the fear of the Lord. It talked about in Acts 4, it said everyone was in one heart and mind. They shared everything. We heard about Ananias and Sapphira and what happened, the holiness, the fear of the Lord that kind of descended on the church through those kind of events. Salvations, all kinds of salvations and baptisms, right? Healings, not just healings, but deliverances. It talked about Acts 5:16 said that people would bring their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Right? Trouble with the government. Right? Lots of that. And imprisonment. And then jailbreaks. Like, I've been getting giddy this week looking at this and, like, really believing that this is for us. Holy Spirit-inspired speeches. We've got lots of those really powerful speeches recorded. The Holy Spirit came on Peter, came on different people, and the speeches that came out of them. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to highlight a few passages that talk about that, but that phrase comes up over and over and over, sometimes about an individual, but often about the whole body that was gathered in a place. Angelic interventions. There was, we had an angel opening the jail doors. We had an angel appearing to Philip about the Ethiopian eunuch. And then what Mark read today in chapter 10 with Cornelius. Persecution happened, and even martyrdom, right? We talked about Stephen a few weeks ago. Teleportation, Mark pointed that one out. That feels like it's just a little bonus, but it's really pretty cool to think about. Radical conversions. Saul, that's pretty radical. Clear directions from God. That's something, another thing that Mark and I talked a lot about this week. Throughout Acts, there are some really clear directions that God gives people. Philip and the eunuch, especially if you want to look at this one, look at Acts 8 to 10. Those chapters are full. God gives Philip very specific directions with the Ethiopian eunuch. He gives Saul very specific directions of where he's going to go once he becomes blind. God gives Cornelius very specific directions, right, in Acts 10 today, really specific directions of where he's going to find the person. While Peter is praying, God speaks to him and gives him very specific directions. And then visions, we read about that today, and raising the dead, that happens. All of this happens. And I actually started adding more, and at a certain point, I couldn't fit more. There's more. There's even more than this that's going on in just those first 10 chapters of Acts. And there's a whole bunch more of Acts still to come, right? So this is the kind of stuff that the early church was doing. So I kind of started asking, how did the early church do this? How did this kind of start happening? And so I have four things that were going on that were happening a lot during the early church that brought about these things. So the first one is a lot of caring and a lot of giving. And I think that there's some really supernatural things that are on that list. But as I went through, I was amazed at how much in Acts 1 to 10, over and over and over again, caring for people's physical basic needs came up. It is over and over and over again. Part of it, God, when the Bible highlights in the book of Acts, highlights Stephen, highlights Cornelius, when it highlights people, this is one of the main things that it talks about when it highlights somebody in those first 10 chapters. A lot of caring for the lame, the paralyzed, the sick. God healed those people when they would come to the disciples or the apostles. But also specifically food distribution and caring for the poor. The giving was so great and so sacrificial that no one was in need, is what it says in one of those parts. And so Ross talked a few weeks ago kind of about giving as like an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that was really powerful for me when he talked about that and just reminded me again of this. Mark and I, as we were talking about this, I think we know, like, it's important. We know it's on God's heart. But it's not just that it's important and it's on God's heart. There is something supernatural in this happening when we do those things, something that happens supernaturally that brings about greater power of the Holy Spirit of God to move. Like, this releases something in the spiritual realm. And so that was really good for me to think about that. Next one is waiting on God. I was just noticing timing, even things. Cornelius, in the passage we read, Mark read just now, Cornelius was praying at 3 p.m., middle of the day, and Cornelius had paused and he'd taken out his time and he was praying. Peter went up to the roof to pray at noon. And in both of those situations, I don't think it was like, got to get in my quiet time. I'm going to check off, yes, I read the Bible, you know, or like go through my list of things. It was like a waiting on God. When we quiet our own selves and when we wait, right? And that's what I think Cornelius and Peter were in, that place where they were actually like receiving, waiting to receive from God. And so I think that was part of the practice of what the early church was doing. They were taking time to wait on God, not just waiting on God individually, but also gathering to pray. So Acts 2:42, that section at the very end of Acts 2, it's a beautiful, beautiful section of what the church should look like, right? It talks about gathering together, breaking bread together. And in that list is that they devoted themselves, among other things, to prayer. And so we know that that coming together to pray was something that they did as well. It talks again about coming together to pray after Peter and John were released from prison. It says Peter and John were released from prison. They came, they talked, they shared what had happened, and then they prayed. And after they prayed, the Holy Spirit came on them. Not just them, but on everyone who was present at that. The next one, if you want to go to the next one, is gathering together. There was a lot of gathering together. That passage in Acts 2 that I talked about, they gathered together, they broke bread together, they spent time constantly together in community. And that was really important. I think that a lot of times, especially there's a trend right now to say, like, I can be a believer, I am a Christian, but I am kind of disenchanted with this church thing, right? But really, what was going on in the early church was going on when they came together. They had that was like foundational, is that the speeches, the moves of God, the conversions, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that happened when they came together. And so it's coming together not just to hang out or to break bread. They came together with purpose, but it wasn't just only in their prayer closet, at their house. It wasn't individual. It was coming together. And so that was really important. This is kind of a side note, but even raising the dead, I was thinking about the stories of raising the dead, and always that's something where the person comes physically into the room. There's something about coming and being together, right? A lot of those things, they don't happen at distance. They happen when we're together. Before I was at Southside, I was at a church in Hudsonville. And I had read, when I was overseas, I had read the book Red Moon Rising. It's about the 24/7 prayer movement that started in England. Very cool story. And in that, or as I had read that and was at this church in Hudsonville, I felt like God said that he wanted to bring that 24/7 prayer week of prayer to the church there. And so I think we did it 3 or 4 times, and we had sign-ups, and people signed up. And so for an entire week, day and night, there was nonstop prayer that was going on during those times. And so when I brought this kind of to the church, you know, I had a lot of people say, couldn't I just pray from my house? Couldn't I just be there, you know, kind of like in spirit? And granted, like 2 a.m. driving in your car to go to church doesn't sound fun, I don't think, probably to most of us. But if you asked people who did it, it was like the highlight of their week, was those middle of the night prayer times together in that place. And so when people would say that to me, I said, hey, that's totally fine. I love if you would join us and if you would pray from home, but we're still going to fill those slots at the church. And people, I think at first, were a little nervous about trying it, and it was the Christian Reformed Church. They were so blessed. It was so powerful when we came together and when we did that in that kind of a setting. And so there's something about being physically present and joining together. And then the last one is there's a lot of being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts, a lot of that. Acts 10:44 said, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard. I looked it up, and in these first chapters of Acts, there's at least four times where it talks about, where it uses those that phrase. And those times, it says that the Holy Spirit fell on all who were there, which kind of inspires me too. Makes me expectant, I think. Acts 4, verse 31 said, after they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And I think Mark and I talked in August about outreach, and really, like, that is what we need. We need all of these things going on to be able to reach out and to be able to speak the word of God boldly. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to have these things going on to be able to see the fruit that there was there. So this is kind of an overview, I guess, of some of the big things that were themes. This is the stuff that the early church was doing, that this is the stuff that they were making a priority in their lives, in their individual lives, but also in the lives of the church as a whole. So I started asking the question, just kind of waiting on the Lord and saying, what does this mean for us now? And the first thing that I felt like God said, you can flip ahead there, is to celebrate and remember that he's still doing these things. Because I think when I look at that list, and actually if you want to flip to that next slide a second, this is the list again, the same list, the doing the stuff list from Acts. But when I look at that list, my first thing was like, oh, come on. Like, we don't look as much like Acts as I want us to as a body, you know. But I felt like the first thing God said is remember. Remember that these things are happening. And I even felt like this week as I remembered, you know, it talks about healings. God reminded me of how he healed my daughter. We almost had to medevac her from China when she was a baby, and God healed her. Yeah, so many stories I felt like God has brought to my mind to remind me that I have seen these things happening. So in my own life, but then the lives of other people I know, some of these things, you know, especially the first column, I think when you look at the first column, a lot of the things at the top there, I think we tend to have seen more of, maybe. Trouble with government, imprisonment, jailbreaks, those are things that I know a lot more of happening overseas, especially. The Heavenly Man is a phenomenal, phenomenal book, if any of you have ever read it or are interested, but it talks about the church in China and a man who experienced some amazing, amazing things. So those things are happening. The being filled with the Spirit. I was thinking about that, and God just reminded me of things like Cloud Nine, youth retreats, and the ways that God has showed up, right? We have seen God show up. We have seen some of those things happen. Some of these things I feel challenged, and this is a different conversation, but I think a lot of those things I have experienced more overseas than I experience here in America. So that's a conversation for a different day. So the first thing is remembering that, and part of that is really taking time to testify and to share testimony with one another about how God is continuing to do those things. The next thing is I felt like God was challenging us to believe for more, to be able to say, I do believe that everything that is on that list, that everything that happens in the Gospels, the things that Jesus did, I do believe that that is for today, And God, help me in the areas where I don't believe it. And so I felt like God was challenging us to believe him for more. And I feel like this series has just begun to stir a hunger in me for more. And then the last, so if you look, this is, I'm popping that list up one more time here. Just look for a minute and tell the Lord, like, what would you like to see more of? And then there's the last one. And the last one is, I felt like God was just saying that some of it starts with us. And so we need to dig in. If we really believe this, and if we really want to see this, then we have to dig in. And these are the things that I talked about earlier, the caring and giving, the taking time to really wait on God, the gathering together, the being filled with the Spirit. Let's dig in. And, after Southside closed, Mark and I and our family wandered around to churches, to a lot of churches, and I was amazed a little bit at how very rare it was to find a church that had prayer, that people could go and, like, just have someone pray for them. It wasn't very common, and was always really refreshing when we found a place that did have that. And so I love that we have that prayer time always available here. But Mark and I were talking about how a lot of times it's really easy to go up for a physical need that we want to pray for. And we can go up for prayer when we hit pretty low. And we can, you know, usually humble ourselves and go ask for prayer when we really, really need it. But a lot of times that's what it turns into. Instead of, I heard something that really stirred in my spirit, let's take time to respond to what God is stirring in our hearts. Not because we're desperate, not because we're broken, but because we're hungry, right? And so that is something that has really been stirring in me. If we're digging in, we're responding not because there's pressure, not because someone says, come to Jesus, so we have to, like, all come forward. It's not something external. But there is power when we do it. There is power when we come together. There's power when we wait on God. And when we do those things, his Spirit comes and he does fill us. And so there is something about doing it that we have to be willing to step out. We have to do that. And so I think first, one thing that we just felt God challenging us was in this season, as we continue to go through Acts, to really be willing to step out and to respond. But the thing that we're going to do a minute right now is, you know, we talk about doing the stuff, but we really want to take time to do that. And so how we're actually going to end today is we'll have a little bit of music just going in the back here, but we are going to ask you guys to gather into small groups, maybe 8 or so, 10 people, something like that, if you would form groups. And if we would just take a little bit of time to wait, to pray together, to kind of share our hearts and to ask God to move and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us. And so that's what we're going to do right now a minute. We're just going to gather together in small groups. When your group is done praying, if you want to just exit, that's okay. I won't come up here and make a formal farewell at the end here. So we'll just have some music going, and then let's do that. Let's just get into small groups and do it. Okay.
Thanks, Alia. As